Welcome to Career Tools, our guidance on how to analyze your job search, quantity. Here we go. Folks, this guidance answers the questions, how do I know if I'm doing enough to get a job? How do I know where my job search is going wrong? What metrics can I be looking for in my job search? If you're thinking about interviewing anytime soon, now is the time to start preparing. Interviewing is not about smarts. It's not about personality. It's all about preparation in the modern age as more and more companies use more and more tools to separate the wheat from the chaff. Our interviewing series is over 50 podcasts that go through in detail every step of the interview, how to prepare, how to dress, resumes, cover letters, how to chit-chat, how to answer tell me about yourself and your leadership style and significant accomplishments with repeated examples, how to close, how to ask questions, how to follow up, everything in enormous detail because we know interviewing for most people is a black box. Come and check it out. Okay, Wendy, we get all kinds of questions, people having job search problems. They're wondering what to do. It's enough of a black box. They can tell us what's happening to them, but they can't analyze it. And it frustrates them because in other parts of their work, they can analyze it. They understand if X is going wrong, the problem is over here in alpha. Or if Z is going wrong, the problem is in Y. But we've learned that there are a couple of simple ways to think about it.
Yeah, so usually when people say, I'm not having a lot of luck with my job search, we say, are you getting interviews? Because that tells us if they're applications, their resume and their cover letter and so on are working. If they are getting interviews, then the next question is, are you getting offers? Because if they're interviewing but not getting offers, then it's something to do with their interview technique, probably. And so we talked a few weeks ago about a tracking spreadsheet for tracking your job search, for tracking the jobs that you're applying for and the stage you get to and so on. And now we're going to talk about analyzing it. And the first thing we're going to analyze is how many jobs are you applying for? Because there is a number. It's to some extent a quantity game. You have to have enough applications in order to get through all the way through the funnel to an offer and an acceptance. And so we're going to look at how many lines you have on the spreadsheet and suggest some things that people can do if they don't have enough quantity.
Okay, so what's our outline?
So those things are count your opportunities, meet more people, and ask more often.
Sounds like more. Okay, so count your opportunities.
So this is simple. If you have been keeping the spreadsheet, count the lines on the spreadsheet. And if you don't have enough in-progress leads, if you don't have anything that's in progress or you don't have many that are completed, then you're probably not doing enough. So if you're looking for a C-suite role in a major corporation, then over 2 years, you might talk about 4 to 6 opportunities because those are rarer, they take longer, you know, you've got to find the right one. But for most first or second line managers looking to move in the next, I don't know, 3 to 9 months, then you need to have a lot more applications. And the sooner you want to change your job, the more opportunities you want to be pursuing because that makes it faster.
So what number makes you feel like, okay, this person's got enough work in process here that you feel good about them?
I think 25 to 50, usually. Over 50 starts to worry me.
But I have a question. I like that number too. But I think there are people out there that post their resume on 25 jobs on a job board and think that's enough. Does that count?
I think the posting of your resume on your job board, that doesn't count as an opportunity. An opportunity is a company, a division, a job title, a specific application, a resume that got sent. Just putting your resume out there, that to me is not the kind of opportunity that you would be tracking on this spreadsheet, and it doesn't count in the 25 to 50.
And when it comes to job boards, I've always felt like they're just blind. And there's no way to measure. There's no way to sense. There's no way to push. There's no way to cajole. There's no way to encourage. That's what bugs me about job boards. Yes, in a way, the idea of them were a frictionless market, which is good. But the moment I think job boards today, I immediately think about that blindness and the lack of ability to do something. And then I immediately switch to the other side of the coin, which, of course, is referrals. Your friends, your colleagues, your associates, your network, which is where so many opportunities come from, of course. and we've only been talking about that for 10 years now. Okay, so 25 to 50, okay?
Yeah, and so if you have 25 applications, you have 25 opportunities on your job search tracking spreadsheet with actual titles and actual companies, then probably 10 out of those 25 will go nowhere for either no apparent reason, they'll go into a black hole, you'll never get a response, or it's so slow that the candidate finds something before that company has even moved to interview sometimes. There's probably 5 that you'll get somewhere through the process and decide, actually, that's not a good role for me. It doesn't fit for whatever reason. Then 10 or so you'd interview for, and from that you'd get 5 to 7 offers. I think a 1 to 2 or a 1 to 3 ratio for offers to interviews is a good place to think that you're going to end up.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit more about how do I compare? Do I just need 25 to 50 and I'm good?
Yeah, it's a time scale thing. So if you're looking in 3 to 9 months, which is a kind of average length of a job search, if you're already in a role, and you thought you'd get a job in 9 months and you're 6 months in and you've only got 5 opportunities logged, then clearly you're not moving fast enough. You're not including enough opportunities. You need to increase the number. If you're over 50 and it's only been 3 months, and you on that average search, you may be casting your net too wide, and that may reduce the number, the proportion of offers you get to applications. So it's a bit of a judgment call, but after 3 to 6 months, 3 months you probably want 25 and then 6 at 50. If you want to move faster than that, if you want to be gone from your job in 3 months, then that 25 has to be in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, I wouldn't characterize 50 as casting your net too wide. I would say if the 50 are on the tracking spreadsheet, what I want is activity in all 50. I want pushing forward. That's where the job board thing is so hard. There's just nothing. It goes into this big black hole and you know nothing. It's maybe you get a call, maybe you won't. Although if you've got your resume, hundreds of job boards and you're hearing nothing, it goes back to your comment earlier about resumes, right? Your resume isn't doing what you want it to do. But yeah, I just feel like you can have 50. You just need to be pushing. You need to be having a conversation, reaching out, encouraging, cajoling, all those friendly words I used earlier.
Yeah, you're right. I kind of implied that once you've logged it on the spreadsheet, nothing happens. Like, oh, everything else happens by magic.
Yeah, the spreadsheet is the start of the checklist of when was the last time I reached out? You know, what did they say? I don't have any problem with people checking with me every 2 weeks. Not at all. Hey, have you heard anything? What's going on? Okay, so you say 25 to 50. Is that normal?
I think so.
You think the average number of people that are searching have 25 to 50?
Really? No. Nearly the people that say, I'm having a problem with my job search and it's really dragging out, they probably only have 5 to 10 opportunities that they've gone for. Almost always the problem is too low a number.
Yes.
At least if the problem is like right back at the beginning of the process. There's 2 reasons for that. One, you're not searching hard enough, and there's all sorts of psychological reasons why we don't do what the things that we say we want to do, and that's kind of not our remit. And if you know that's the case, then go find you need a therapist or a professional or a good talking to, whatever. The other reason is if you're searching hard, but you're not getting information about opportunities. So you're looking on the internet, you are having those conversations. Maybe you're just not getting word of anything that's happening. And those are the 2 things that we're going to come to in a second. Just as an aside, increasing the quantity does not mean necessarily lowering the quality. You know, if you've just been fired or laid off and you need a job in the next month, then you might want to lower your quality standards. But if you're in a normal search, it's probably not true that you can't find another 10, another 15 roles that meet your quality standard. It's just that you're not connecting with them somehow. So the first thing you can do is meet more people. Because if you're fishing in a pond which doesn't have any fish, then you need to move ponds. And it's really easy for us to stay behind a computer or just meet the people we already meet and then wonder why we're not hearing about new opportunities. It's because there's no kind of information flow.
We often talk about that, about how, well, we know the people we know, so we ask them. But I think, you know, one of the things I've seen over and over again as a theme is people who ask their friends, do you know anybody who's looking? And in other words, rather than there just be one person asking, and maybe you connect with 25, 50 people, if you're lucky, if you built and maintained your network, you only have one person asking. If you have one person asking 20 people, and then you ask them, please ask your friends as well, and now we have 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, or something like that, you get a multiplier effect that's really helpful. And I think, I don't know that we actually have guidance on that. We probably ought to, but that's what really multiplies your job search. It's not just asking your friends, do you know of anything, but rather asking them to ask their friends if they know of anything.
Yeah.
And a trusted associate is more likely to get the possibility of opportunities elsewhere.
So yeah, you need to ask your friends to ask their friends to ask their friends.
Yeah.
And there's another way you can broaden your search to meet the kind of people who work at the company you work at. So if you want to work at a small company, maybe a small business that's local to your town, maybe you think it's got like 10 to 15 people, so it's quite a small company, you have to think about, where are the kind of people that own that company? Where are they? What are they doing when they're not at work? What kind of meetings might they be going to? What kind of activities might they do? What kind of things might they be reading? So for example, those kind of small company owners and executives in smaller places tend to be often in Rotary or church groups in the US or in the chambers of commerce. They tend to be the kind of people that are kind of working with the business community. And so you need to go to those kind of things. If you want really deeply technical software engineers, then often if you look on Meetup or other places on the internet, they have meetups, you know, for C++ in the defense industry on airplanes, like really specific. So yep, you can find those kind of people. Or the other way to do, especially software, is to be on GitHub and be showing your work off. That is also a connection maker for software people.
Professional associations, everyone. I'm amazed at the number of young professionals who, oh no, that's for executives, or no, that's, it's a huge part of professional life is your association outside of your organization, but within your profession or your specialty or your technical area. This is how networks are built. It's a part of the fabric of a strong network. And we're going to say it over and over and over again. The stronger your network is, you know, smile at people on your way up because you'll see them on the way back down. That's intended to suggest if you build your network well as you go through your professional life, it's easier for you to leverage that network when in fact you need something from it.
Of course.
Yeah.
If you've got those warm connections, it's always much easier.
Yep.
So once you've started meeting the people who work at your desired company, or at least are in that orbit, you have to have made a connection with them. You have to have developed a relationship, at least superficially. But then you actually have to ask them if they know of any opportunities. You can't be shy about it. If you want to work where they are working or with someone that they know, that you know that they know, then you actually have to ask them. They don't psychically know that you are actually looking for a new opportunity. And the job search doesn't get shorter if you don't tell them. You have to tell them in order to get the job. So what you do is you don't ask them for a job. You just let them know that you're looking for other opportunities, that you want to work in their company or in a company that they might know, and what you want to do. And if you're wondering exactly what to say, there is a cast for that. But the important thing is, don't ask for a job. Ask if they know about any opportunities or if their friends know any other opportunities.
And our next point is, ask more often.
Mm-hmm. Most of us are kind of reticent about asking for things.
Oh, we feel like we're doing it constantly.
Yes.
And yet the classic, this is a classic Romeo and Juliet where, oh, you know, I don't want to ask, you know, their friends. I don't want to impose on the friendship. And then you ask the people who would be the recipient of that ask, and they say, well, gosh, that's part of what friendships are for. That's what part of associations and colleagues are for. Why wouldn't he ask? Of course, I'd want to help him. And then the next thing a good friend or a close associate says is, Why wouldn't he give me the opportunity to help? Whoa. I mean, wow. What does that say about me? Clearly, we didn't have the friendship I thought we had.
Yeah. And the funny thing is about constantly, that phrase, is that our definition for ourselves of constantly is different to that of others. So, for example, if you think about the people that you meet around once a month outside of work, so like in a committee you're in or a school event that you get to go to once a month, and if you knew someone at that, you think about one of those people and they were looking for a role, and every time you saw them every month for 6 months, they just, you know, politely, breezily said, hey, just let you know, I'm still looking for an opportunity. If you know of anything or any of your friends know, I'd love to hear from you. That would be fine. You know, even if you're just, if it's a, just a 10-minute catch-up about family and what's going on, that like two sentences is nothing in the conversation.
I would go further than fine. It's almost required if you want to be able to hold your head up and say, I'm putting every best effort I have into my job search. The idea that you're worried that you might step on toes a little bit, and so therefore your job search extends another 3 months, is just ludicrous. I'm amazed that more people don't ask more often. I agree with you, Wendy. I think it's just people are reticent. They just don't want to do it. And, you know, what will we put on earth to do if not to help one another through? Mm-hmm. And be a helper to other people. If you're gainfully employed now and you're able to help other people, when you get a request, bust your tail for that person. You know, put some coins in the karma box so that when it comes time, when the tornado rolls around and it finally rolls around to you, there will be people who feel that you made best efforts for them, and so they're going to make best efforts for you.
And as long as you're breezy and upbeat about it, people don't mind. If you imagine it's someone doing it to you, you feel that, like, oh, of course I would be fine. I don't mind if that person asks me every time I see them. It's fine. Because you're not dragging them down with the doom and gloom of, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to pay my mortgage because I haven't got a job. You're just saying, keep a mind out for me. There's another thing to this as well, which is that we only concentrate on ourselves. So if you think about those people that you know and you see once a month or so, and think about, you know, people who are expecting a baby or people who are getting married or people who are buying a house. I bet that if you know one of those people, 30 seconds ago, you weren't thinking about them. And it's the same with your friends. Unless you say, hey, I'm still looking for an opportunity, that piece of information about you floats out of their mind. And they might not think about it in the moment when there is an opportunity, they hear about something that you would want to know. It's not bad of you to remind them as friends.
It's bad of you not to remind them.
Yeah, because if I knew that one of my friends was looking for an opportunity and I'd forgotten, and then I heard something and they missed out, I would be mortified.
Yes.
So from that side, if you put yourself in the other person's shoes, asking more often than you're asking is almost certainly not a bad thing.
My experience is, I often say when it comes to interviewing, 99% of people that I know could triple their energy level when being interviewed, and it would in no way be too much for the average interview. It just tells you how quiet and reserved and nervous people are. The same thing's true here. If you think you're asking too much, you're nowhere near asking too much. If you're not checking in every 8 to 10 business days, you're not checking in often enough. People say yes and then get your resume, look at it, and then promptly set it aside and forget about it. If I'm somebody helping you, you've got to remind me every couple of weeks. You can't just sit back and say, you know, oh, it's been 3 months. Have you heard anything? Shoot, I completely forgot that I agreed to help you.
But also, it's your job, I'm not search. Doing the work for you.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. I like the idea of thinking about quantity. I think it's to me, I always call this running the funnel. You have, you know, how big is the funnel at the top? And you want one offer to come out of the bottom, and go back to our earlier guidance, or the guidance we said at the beginning, which is, if you're not getting interviews, it's probably because you don't have enough opportunities, or because of your resume or applications. And if you're not getting offers, it's probably because, again, numbers, or because of your interviewing skills.
We have a series to help you with that.
With interviewing, yeah, probably our most popular product of all time. So can you summarize for us?
Sure. So too few opportunities guarantees a slow job search, right? Those two things go like E equals MC squared. And changing jobs for most of us means putting your head above the parapet and taking some risks in asking people about opportunities and meeting new people and asking them about opportunities. And the upside is a great new job. And so you have to take those risks in it if you want the reward, which is a great new job. So ask more and ask more often.
Yep. Agreed. Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.
That's it, everybody. Come back next week for more professional guidance from Manager Tools and Career Tools. See you then.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want, with easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions. It couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're a Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.